God is constantly working behind the scenes while we're waiting. So even where we feel stuck and stagnant in certain situations, what he's doing in our life in that process, and even the refining process that comes with waiting, oh my goodness, it makes me so excited, because on the other side of that is something that's worth waiting on. It really, really is.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Welcome back to More Than Small Talk. We're excited that you're here in the fourth chair with us. And this week, we are talking about waiting. I think none of us like waiting.
Nobody.
It's not very fun. And yet, we all experience it in little ways and in really big ones.
Yeah. So, confession question time, which has become my favorite part of this show. What does waiting bring out in you?
Oh my goodness, so many things. But the first thing that popped into my head was sadness. Because when you have those delayed things that you're waiting on answers from God, it's so difficult to wait. So you're like, okay, did you forget about me, God? So I know that I've learned more about surrender and waiting than any other area of my life. So I think sometimes sadness and maybe questions.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on what you're waiting on.
Right.
You know, we discussed this earlier, and if I'm waiting in line, I'm cool. I am. I'm good with waiting in line. I can go to an amusement park and wait. I can wait at the grocery store. But when I feel like there's an unanswered prayer, or there's a goal or a dream that I have and it just isn't happening, that's a whole different experience for me, because sad's not the right word for me. Frustrated probably is, because I'm a planner and I'm a doer and I'm a jumper and I'm a leaper. And so I can almost feel like it's wasted, even though I know it's not.
Yeah. Right? So do the two of you have a story that illustrates what you just shared, you know, kind of what that looks like in your life?
Yeah. Well, I remember when I wrote the book, The Unburdened Heart, and I had had a book coming out about every year and a half. And when I'm writing books, Holly and Jennifer, it's not about like writing a book. It's about this message that God has placed on my heart that I'm just dying to share. And this book just wouldn't fly. Like, it went to my publisher and they said no. And then it went to another publisher. They said no. 1 year passed, 2 years passed. 5 years passed. And in my heart, I knew that this was a message that God had placed on my heart that was to happen. I wasn't holding on out of selfish ambition. I knew that this was a message that God had asked me to share. And yet I felt like in the wilderness. And it eventually got picked up in the sixth year, and it ended up being a book that I believe made a difference. There were so many times that I would question God and say, are you sure this is a message you're wanting me to talk about? Are you sure this is a path that you've asked me to go down? Because I think we equate the call of God in any area of our life with it's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good distinction.
It is. I was 24 and I wanted desperately to have children. And so I thought that that would be super easy. You know, my husband was like, okay, we need to wait until we've been married for 2 years. So once we decided to start a family, I had the first miscarriage. And then 4 months later, I had the second miscarriage. And I knew something was wrong. So that resulted in a lot of depression and heartache. But I started going to a really skillful, knowledgeable doctor who treated me. But that season of waiting for my body to become healthy and my heart to heal from that kind of loss was absolutely devastating. And so I throw out the year 3 because I know so many people have waited so many more years, heartbreaking years than 3. But it was a season of surrender. And at the beginning, I was depressed. I was angry. By the end of it, I was hopeful and I was expectant. And I just was like, okay, you're a good God who's not afraid of my anger. And you are teaching me something so profound in this waiting that I'm going to trust you in it. And of course, I do have two beautiful daughters who are absolute miracles. But that time just made me go deeper in my faith. So waiting was not wasted. My heartache wasn't wasted. What I learned and how I leaned into God, that wasn't wasted. It was beauty from ashes. It really was.
But, and your waiting included loss, Jennifer. It did. You know, that's really, that's profound.
That's what I was thinking, that, you know, waiting a lot may not be going on the outside, but there's a lot going on the inside.
There is.
That waiting often comes with grief.
Yes.
It often comes with frustration.
Yeah.
It often comes with fear.
Confusion.
Yes, yeah, confusion. Absolutely. And it's okay to feel those emotions, even if you believe that ultimately in the end, God is going to work it out.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the thing is, and I think this is important that we say this, is that it doesn't always work out.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't in a waiting season. You may be waiting for something that you think is going to work out one way, and then it works out in an entirely different way. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that sometimes it works out differently than you thought it was going to.
Yeah. And I've shared on previous episodes about our family story where we tried to have kiddos and we ended up having a 20-year-old daughter instead.
Yes.
So you can listen to previous episodes if you want to hear that whole story. But yes, I think coming to the point where we lay down of our expectations about a particular outcome is part of how waiting refines us. Mm-hmm. And instead we open our hands and say, okay, God, I want what you have for me. And I remember in another hard season where there's just a lot going on. I remember being in my car and just praying, God, why are you taking everything out of my hands? Mm. And I felt like he said, so I can fill them with something better.
Yeah.
You know, and I pictured my hands as clenched fists, like I was holding on to everything in my life. And it felt like it was slipping away anyway. And God was saying, unclench your fists, open them up, ask to receive what I have for you.
Yeah.
And is that easy? You know, it's easy to say it here on this podcast today. In that moment, it wasn't.
No,
you know, that felt like an act of war.
Yeah.
To say, okay, God, I'm going to receive what you have for me.
Yeah. Well, I was reading Romans 9 the other day, and I have to tell you, as I was reading, it's all about the sovereignty of God. And I just thought, okay, this chapter is really hard for me. Because I know that God is sovereign and I trust God implicitly. But Lord, this chapter's hard because it means that, not that there's fate, because I don't believe in that, but there's absolute trust that you know something and see something that I don't over my life personally, you know? Yeah. And that God truly has free will not to be bent by our desires, but bent by his knowledge of what to do in our life that is a gift.
Right, right. And I think looking back, I can see that his no and his not yet, it was all for my good. It really was. But it's hard to think like that when we're in the midst of the sadness or the frustration of waiting. But knowing that his no and not yet is like a safety net for us.
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful thought and a way that we can kind of have hope in the hard seasons.
Yeah. And I think there's room for those feelings too. I think there's room to be honest with God and just say, Lord, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love you. I love you with all my heart. I trust you. I surrender to you. But in this moment right now, I don't get it. But I trust you.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a two-pronged, you know, powerful tool there in that you're being honest with God. He's your safe place to say that, but it's also in the same place. I don't get it. I don't see it, but I trust that you do.
Right? Yeah. Amen. I think so. And to still feel frustrated even after we say that,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So I was just thinking that waiting is about the limits of time, right? And we are not created to be limited by time. We are eternal beings.
We are.
So waiting is never going to feel right to us because we are not made for it. It's a result of living in a fallen, broken world and being fallen, broken people. And there's a part of our hearts that says, this is wrong. This isn't how it should be. And I think God says back to us, you're right. This isn't how it should be.
Yeah.
And so he understands when it's hard, but he also says, one day I'm going to make it right. One day the limits of time will not be a burden to you anymore.
Right. And what's happening in those waiting places is not wasted. Mm-mm. It's not. And again, I look at that book, The Unburdened Heart, Finding the Freedom of Forgiveness. And I look at that and I think, if it had come out when I first wrote it, it would have been a very different book than the 6 years that I took and invested and poured in that book, thinking, if no one wants to read this, I want to live this. Mm. So Lord, I'm going to continue to learn what this means. I'm going to try to live it. I'm going to ask for your help in it. And it became a very, very different book. And sometimes we become very, very different people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In those waiting seasons, and we may think, okay, I'm waiting. I'm not at the finish line. So surely something's wrong here. Well, what if the waiting season is more critical than crossing the finish line?
I so believe that. So what's going to help us in our hard seasons of waiting?
I think acknowledging our emotions, like we've been talking about, and then also trying to see if there is a lie that we have believed about waiting, like waiting time is wasted time. Mm-hmm. I think in our culture, like that's pretty much a universal lie.
It is a universal lie. You know?
And yet think about the life of Jesus. Like imagine there was a meeting in heaven about this, right? Which I know there wasn't, but just imagine there was. And I got called on and God was like, we're sending Jesus. You know, what do you think the game plan should be? I would be like, okay, first of all, don't send him as a baby because like that's a total waste, yeah, right? Like
right.
You're going to send the Son of God and he's going to be a toddler. Like that is not efficient.
Yeah.
You know, and then
what can he do?
Okay, fine. If that we have to do that, then we definitely need to put him into ministry as soon as possible. So yeah. Like when he turns 16, you know, we're putting him out on the preaching circuit. We're going to, you know, have him do all these things. And so it's crazy to me that God was like, nope, going in as a baby. He's going to be a carpenter until he's 30, only 3 years of public ministry. Like when I look at the life of Jesus on paper, in many ways, I would be tempted to call it a wasted life.
Yes.
And I think there are people listening right now that when they look at their life, they are tempted to call years wasted.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no, those were as divinely ordained mm-hmm. is the ones that you look at and can clearly see my hand.
Yeah, that human experience of not just stepping into something, you know, of understanding what it is. There's a story in the Bible that just tickles me, and it's where Jesus' mom asked Mary to turn water into wine, and he says, it's not time yet. She pulled rank. She yeah. pulled mama rank. I mean, he's King of Kings, but she's mama, and she pulled rank. And she said, no, I want you to do it now. You know, he understood what it was to have a mama,
right?
You know, who was like, you should be doing this. I need you. I know you say it's not time, but I'm pulling rank. And all of the human experiences that he had were pivotal in his mission because he came to heal the brokenhearted. So he understood what it was to be brokenhearted. You know, he came to bring good news to those who are impoverished in spirit. He understood what it was to be impoverished in spirit. That's such a powerful analogy.
I love thinking about knowing how he's constantly working. God is constantly working behind the scenes while we're waiting. So even when we feel stuck and stagnant in certain situations, what he's doing in our life in that process and even the refining process that comes with waiting, oh my goodness, it makes me so excited because on the other side of that is something that's worth waiting on. It really, really is.
Yeah. And there's an assignment in every day that we live. In the waiting season, there's an assignment. So just asking the Lord, you know, I understand I'm not where I want to be, but you have something for me mm-hmm. today.
Yeah.
What is that? Show me that and help me to walk into that. Yesterday, I had a phone call with a friend and she actually lives in New Zealand. And, you know, if I looked at all of the things I was trying to accomplish, a phone call with a friend wasn't actually on the agenda. You know, it happened, but that phone call ended up being about 30 minutes. And as we talked and we prayed together, and I remember just clicking my computer off and walking away and feeling a sense of God's joy. Like, that was your assignment today. Mm-hmm. I know you have a big old list of things that you were wanting to accomplish, but that was my assignment for you today. And there's freedom in that.
Yes. Yeah. So if someone's listening and they're like, I'm waiting right now, I'm sitting at the stoplight of life and it is not turning green. And
it's been yellow forever.
Yes, it's been yellow forever. I just want to go. Like, what's one practical step that they can take today that will help them feel like they're moving forward?
You are killing it today.
All the metaphors. Yes, I love me metaphors. A good metaphor. Rhymes with pedophore. So, yeah. So what's one step?
In the waiting?
Yeah.
I think it's asking God for your assignment. Mm. Like, take your eyes long enough off of where you want to be to stand where you are and ask a God who's omnipresent and has an eternal perspective, what assignment do you have for me today? Big, small, it doesn't matter, but you show me. And then begin to look for that assignment and say yes to it.
Mm-hmm. And it may have nothing to do with the thing you're waiting on.
Mm-hmm. Usually it doesn't. Yeah. Although it does, in a sense,
yes,
because
it's preparing you to be the person you need to be.
It is. It is. Yeah.
I think learning that waiting does not have to be passive, that it is an active process of like letting go and surrender.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, if I can surrender something that I'm waiting on, whether saying, God, even if this never happens, even if this prayer is never answered, I still love you. That's active and that's bold. And I think that that's strong.
Yeah. And for me, it would be pray. And, you know, that can sound a little like an easy answer, but I think it really does make a difference. And like a little over a year ago, my mama had emergency triple bypass surgery. Yeah. And there was one day where she had a lot of complications and we didn't know what was going to happen. And waiting in an ICU wing of a hospital is one of the hardest places to wait.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted. And so I sent out a message to, you know, readers and to friends, everyone I could think of, and said, will you just please pray?
Yeah.
And the next morning we got news that basically all of her complications had resolved. And my mom said that she had had like a dream vision that she saw a map of the United States, and on little cities all over the US, there were paper origami birds. And so each one represented, she knew that each one represented someone praying for her.
Wow.
And I had not told her that I had asked people to pray.
Yeah.
She had not, you know, wasn't in a place where she could have even heard that.
Yeah.
You know, but that was so powerful to me. So no, we don't always get that. I mean, there have been a lot of other times that I've had people I love going through health things or been in a hospital, and God has not been that obvious. Right. I would say that's definitely the exception. But what it said to me was, even if we don't feel it, even if we're not strong enough to do the praying ourselves, that prayer makes a difference and God is working. And the power of God's people together is remarkable.
Right. Well, and one thing that just really stood out as you said that, Holly, is that we can become noticers, noticers of the miracles that are taking place that may or may not have anything to do with where we think we should be going. And just say, today, Lord, this was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Lord, this was something you did that no one else could in my heart or with my child. And so we become noticers of miracles instead of just looking down the road all the time and walking around sad and frustrated.
Yeah. And we're asking ourselves even, you know, that 5 minutes or less, what is the last prayer God answered in my life?
Yeah.
Because I move right past them. I forget how I'm living in the answered prayers of yesterday. Mm. I'm living in the result of the waiting times of yesterday.
Yeah. Wow.
So good. Well, next week we are going to be talking about depression, and depression doesn't define you. And this is going to be a powerful conversation that I think so many people need to hear right now.
Yeah. And you know what we've heard from you is that you're thankful that this is a topic that has been brought up.
Yes.
And we're thankful that you gave us that affirmation, because we do want to go deeper with you on that. We have some resources for you today if you're in the waiting, and let's talk about those.
Yeah. Holly has an awesome book that would be perfect for you to read right now, Hope Your Heart Needs.
And Susie has a wonderful book called Come With Me. And what I love about even just that title is it's a reminder that whether we're waiting or moving forward, Jesus is with us always.
Yeah.
We are never alone in the waiting.
Yeah. There's always an invitation rather than looking at the destination. Mm-hmm. There's always a daily invitation. So, and Jennifer's book, Freedom, I told them today as we were talking before we started this, that I'm reading this book now for the third time and actually led with it the other night in a Bible study in my own home. And there was just some powerful, powerful words. One of them that stands out to me today is Jennifer said, we are always moving toward something. So why don't we choose to move toward healing and freedom? And today, as we think about waiting, you're moving towards something, even if it seems that you're sitting still, sister. And so move toward freedom in that day. Move toward healing as you're waiting. And we want to invite you to share your confession questions with us. No holds barred. Just share with us what's on your heart, what you want us to talk about. And especially if there's a question that can make Jennifer just, you know, go for it. Let's do that. And you can leave those confession questions with us on klrc.com.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available through the More Than Small Talk page at klrc.com. You can subscribe to More Than Small Talk through your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.